The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 3, the verses 1 through 16. It's on page 1159 in your Bibles. This is right after the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost that we saw last Sunday morning. This is the next chapter. It's a beautiful story of Jesus continuing to do his mighty work through his church. Listen to the word of God. Now Peter and John were going up to the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together up to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, he made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all." So far the reading of this marvelous story in the New Testament. The leaping lame man. Before we open this truth, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, what you are able to do in the physical, you are abundantly able to do in the spiritual. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are the living God, that our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life, who arose from the grave, is alive and well today. He is with us, at no time absent from us. And so bless us, O Lord, for we pray in the name of our blessed Savior and Lord. Amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this was a great miracle. Like I said to the boys and girls, we saw a great nephew of ours yesterday without arms and only one leg. He was born that way. Amazing. We're so thankful that his mom and dad did not abort him when they found out that this is what was going to come when he was born. But they are rejoicing with this little guy. And we praise God too for the love of parents. The love of parents and grandparents for someone who is so handicapped. And yet that little boy is very bright. You can tell it. He's very bright. And it's amazing what can happen to those who are born with those kind of liabilities and disabilities. But anyway, here at the temple, Peter and John encounter a person who is lame from his mother's womb. He's lame from birth, helpless, begging. It's all he can do is beg. And he probably thought that is all he had for life. That's all he had. His only hope was the generosity of people at the temple gate who would throw him a coin, who would give him a little bit, and that would be the whole of his life. That's all he had to hope for, just survival. And here Peter and John come to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they see him. And an amazing thing happens. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And that's exactly what happened. Now, what does this show us? What is the purpose of this story? The purpose of this story is to show the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's to show that our Lord Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross, whose blood was shed, who was laid in the tomb, and whom the soldiers who guarded the tomb were paid to say that his disciples stole his body. This story is to show us that Jesus Christ is alive and well. That Jesus Christ is alive, that he arose from the grave. The book of Acts is written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in the beginning of this book of Acts, he refers to the first volume of his writing, which is the Gospel of Luke, and he says, "This is all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was lifted up." And now the second volume that he writes, the book of Acts, is what Jesus continues to do and to teach. And here is the exact evidence that Jesus is continuing to do and to teach what he began to do in recorded in the Gospel of Luke. So Jesus is doing the same thing today. He is with us. He is alive and well. His name is just as powerful today as it was in the day that he arose from the dead, in the day that the Holy Spirit came. He's just as powerful today as he was then. He's the same. Just as Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. And the power of his name is the same today as it was then. And what he was able to do in the physical realm, that is, take care of a person who was born lame, who was born that way, he is able to change. Now, you know that you and I and all human beings are born not only deformed, but are born dead in trespasses and sins. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2:1. You did he make alive who were born in sin, helpless. Not only helpless, but dead. That's a situation with everybody by nature. Dead in trespasses and sins. And that's a horrible situation. And those without Christ are dead in sins yet. It's a terrible situation. Nothing could be worse than spiritual death. Not only is it terrible in this life, but it's terrible for all eternity. And so God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us from sin and death and damnation, and to bring life and immortality to life through the gospel. That's why the gospel is so special. It's so great, and it's so important for everyone to hear that there is no other name whereby we may be saved than that blessed name of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Have you confessed your sin to Him? And do you believe that He died for you? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so that's the purpose of this miracle, to show us clearly that Jesus is alive and well, and what He can do in the physical, He is able and willing to do in the spiritual, and does much more in the spiritual than just simply give health. He gives health. But do you know what's even better than health? In Psalm 63 we read, "Thy loving kindness is better than life. Therefore my lips will praise Thee." God's loving kindness is better than life itself. To know the love of God, to know the indwelling of the Spirit in our hearts, to know that we are not our own, but we belong to Him, is far better than life and health itself. It's the best. It's the summa bonum. The greatest good of all is to know the Lord, is to know that He died for me and for you, and that we may trust in Him and know that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's look at this beautiful miracle recorded in Acts 3. There's two things. First, it shows the continuity of the work of Christ. And secondly, it shows the responsibility and the commitment which is given to the church. So the continuity of the work of Christ. Jesus continues to do and to teach what He began to do and to teach. That's such an exciting thing. Jesus' life, it didn't end. Oh, He died. Praise God that He died for our sins. But He lives forevermore. He arose from the dead. He is alive. He's with us here and now. Even though He ascended into heaven bodily, with His grace, Spirit, power, and truth, He is not absent from us for a very moment. He's not absent for us at all. He's here right now with us. And it's by faith that we lay hold of Him. And we lay hold on His name, and we hold on His work. At the work of Jesus Christ, His death upon the cross and His glorious resurrection is the anchor for our soul. That's the rock on which we stand. And there is no other rock that will hold us. You know, Jesus at the end of His Sermon on the Mount said, "He that hears my saying and does them is like a man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds came and beat on that house. But it stood, it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock." And that rock is Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, "He that hears my saying and doesn't do them, he will be like a man who builds his house on the sand. And the same troubles come. The winds come, the rains come, the rivers come. The gales blow and beat on that house, and it falls because it's built on sand." Oh, if there's anyone who's building his house on sand, stop right now and go back to the rock. Today is a day of grace. Today is a day of opportunity. Today is a time in which you are called upon to go to the rock, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His blood is able to save you from your sin. Come to the Savior now. And so that is the great truth of the Word of God. And so the story shows the continuity of Jesus' work. Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we don't know exactly how long after Pentecost this happened. It's the next chapter, so it's very likely it's very soon after Pentecost. And so at 3 in the afternoon, Peter and John, as probably was their custom, they go to the temple to pray. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to pray anytime. So here they come. And this beggar, this lame man, it's a pathetic sight. It's a sorry sight. His relatives must have carried him there because that's what it says. They carried him daily at the gate of the temple, the gate that is called the Beautiful Gate. And it makes sense to go there because the people who go to the temple are very likely good people. And they're generous people. And they have a heart. And so that's where this poor beggar is laid by his friends or his relatives. And he holds out his hand. The best thing he's got going for him is big, generous people who will throw him a coin, give him a help. And so that's, he probably thought that his entire life was going to be a cripple. That's all he had to hope for. What a pathetic life. What a sad life. And so Peter and John come, and he thinks, well, here's two men. They look like upstanding guys. Maybe they'll give me a little. And so Peter looks at him, and John looks at him, and he thinks, well, maybe there's hope here. And so Peter says, silver and gold have I not. And the man must have thought, oh, no, here I thought I was going to get something. Peter says, silver and gold have I not. But what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Is that better than any amount of money that would be given? It's so much better. You can't buy health. You can't buy relief from being lame. Money isn't going to do that. He thought that money is what he needed. Peter and John say, no, no, that's not what you need. What you need is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is able to make you rise and walk. And not only that, he's able to give you a new heart. And that's exactly what happened. Peter extended his hand, and the man got up, rose and walked, and jumped, praising God. You see, not only was his body changed, his heart was changed. He began praising God and went into the temple with Peter and John. What a marvelous, marvelous thing this is. So Peter is saying, Jesus isn't dead. That story that the leaders of the Jews told the soldiers to spread that the disciples stole his body is not true. Jesus is here and now. He is alive and well. And even though you don't see him, he is real. He is powerful. And his name is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even imagine. And so the marvelous story is told us. This man is changed by the power of the name of Jesus. It's similar in a way to what Jesus did, recorded for us in John chapter 5, where Jesus is at the pool of Bethesda. He walks by this pool of Bethesda, which is surrounded by people who are in great physical need. And here he sees a man who's been there for 38 years. And Jesus says to him, would you like to be made well? And the man says, well, there is no one to put me into the water when the water is stirred. And when I'm about ready to go in, someone goes in ahead of me. And Jesus says, I tell you, take up your bed and walk. And the man took up his bed and began to walk. Now, the leaders of the Jews saw this, and it was the Sabbath day. And they said to this man, you're not supposed to be carrying your bed on the Sabbath day. Well, what it was is a mat which was rolled up. It was like a sleeping bag, only it wasn't that nice. And the man said, well, the man who made me well told me to take it up and walk. And they said, who is that man? And he said, I don't really know. And so Jesus saw him. And then the man said to the Jews, it was Jesus that did it. Jesus said, sin no more, that no evil come upon you. And then the Jews began to criticize Jesus, and Jesus says, my Father works now, and so do I. You know that miracle of Jesus caused his death. Because you read that the Jews, when they heard that he not only broke the Sabbath, but that he also called God his Father, making him equal with God, they said, he's got to die. So they planned to kill him. So that miracle really brought about Jesus' death. It was one of the things that did. Now Peter and John, they're saying, this Jesus, who was crucified and risen, he is alive today, and it is by faith in his name that this man stands before you whole. Then Peter says, men of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob has made this man alive. This God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us his son Jesus Christ, and it is the power of his name that this man stands before you whole. You see how Peter immediately connects what happened there with the Old Testament. And now the Jews were very familiar with the Old Testament. So Jesus is saying, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God in whom you claim to trust, this God is here in Jesus Christ, and his name is powerful right now. Even though Jesus has ascended to heaven, his power and his name is here and has made this man well who you see walking before you. And so we see the continuity of the work of Jesus Christ. And what he is able to do in the physical, he is abundantly able to do in the spiritual. He's able to change a person who's been born dead, which is true of everyone. We are born dead in sins and trespasses, and he makes us alive by the power of his Spirit, by the power of his blood. He makes us alive. Oh, may all who hear that word today respond in faith to the claims of our Lord Jesus, that he calls us and he says, come and follow me. Believe. So not only is this the continuity of the work of Christ, it is also the commencement of the work of the church. Because here is the church. Peter and John represent the church. They're not just individuals isolated. No, they are part of the body of Christ. They are part of the body of disciples, and you and I are part of that same body. Because in the end of chapter 2 of Acts, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. That's a picture of the church. That's who we are. We're that church. Just like Peter and John, we're part of that church too. And so when they talked to this beggar, this lame man, and made him alive, it was Jesus talking through them. They were the voice of Jesus Christ. When Peter said, look on us, when he looked at them, what he saw was the love of Jesus Christ shining through them. That's what the church is. It's the body of Jesus. When Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12 describes the church, he uses that same figure. Christ is the head, we are the members of His body. The church is His body. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. In a few weeks we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you." As we take and eat, and as we take and drink, it is the body of Christ, the blood of Christ that nourishes us and refreshes us and strengthens us. Christ is present in the church, and the church is His body. We are the body of Christ. And that's a very, very important thing. It's important for kids to realize, for young people, that we are the body of Christ. When we're baptized into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are baptized into His body, into His covenant. And as we carry on our daily activity, whatever it is, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a awesome thing. It's a scary thing that we represent our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's true. We are part of His body. And so not only do we see the continuity of Jesus' work, we see the commencement of the church's work. At the door of the church is a needy world. A needy world. There they are. Outside of that temple was this needy man. He sat there because he thought this is where I could get some help. There are people outside this church, in the community, in this city, who are needy too. Now this man did not realize his real need. This man thought that his need was money. He thought if only he could get some money, he'd be okay. Even though for the rest of his life he would be a cripple, he still thought if he had some money he could survive. But you see, he had no clue that what Peter and John had was far better than money. Because money couldn't have made him better. Oh, money was necessary for survival. It was necessary to keep body and soul together. Indeed it was. But money wasn't really the thing that would cure him. Money wouldn't do it. Not all the money in the world would do it. Oh, Jesus makes that very clear when he says about the rich man who said, "I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll say, soul, take your ease. You have much laid up for yourself." And Jesus said, "You fool, because tonight your soul will be required of you. And then who will have all of these goods?" So is everyone who is rich in this world and poor toward God. And so the real value, the real value of life is not material, but it's spiritual. It's to know the Savior. That's the true good. That's the true highest good. To know that our souls are saved, and that when we, as all men, all women, all people, will have to meet their Maker sometime. Maybe sooner, maybe later. But we know that death is inevitable. No one can escape it. No one can. Boy, I remember when a man named Nelson Rockefeller, he was part of the Rockefeller fortune. He was found dead in his office, slumped over his desk. I thought, I hope he knew the Lord. Because all the money in the Rockefeller treasury would not save his soul. He'd have to know the Lord. Oh, I pray that he did. What is most important is not physical, though this man thought that was what it was. No, the most important is to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To know the power of His blood. To know that we are helpless in ourselves. To know that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is truly of grace and grace alone that God can lift us up out of darkness into His marvelous light. Like Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined and heard my cry. He took me out of the horrible pit. That's what sin is. It's a horrible pit. He took me out of that horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And there is no other name than that name by which we can be saved. He lifted me up, put me on a rock, put a song in my heart. That's why I love to hear you sing. There's a song in your heart and a song on your lips as you sing the great praises of our God. We sing because He has changed us. You see, this man went into the temple singing and praising God. What a thought. What a beautiful picture. And that's exactly what we are and what we do. And so, the church is standing before a watching world. And there's a lot of need all around us. Where we live on Hutchins Lake, there's need right around us. Where you live, whether it's here in the west side of Grand Rapids or out in the country, there's need all around you. And people don't honestly understand their own need. They don't. Just like this man, he thought his need was money. It was much deeper. And you have people near and far. I'm so thankful for Eric, who's got the soccer club. And these boys and girls come from the community to come to church here. And they learn how to play soccer. And in doing that, Eric is able to show them the love of Jesus Christ. And we pray that their parents can come to church too and hear about the wonderful story of Jesus. That He is here, that His word goes forth, that we are His representatives. We are His feet. We are His hands. We are His eyes. We are His heart. We are to declare the marvelous works of Jesus. That's our calling. And it's a wonderful thing. And we can't do it in ourselves. Peter and John were not powerful in themselves. They said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. That's what we have too. We've got the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, He will grace and power and give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. We have that name. And we've got to share that name. And everybody said, amen. Lord, bless that word unto our heart now this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a high tower. Many can run to it and be safe. Oh, may we take that name of Jesus with us. Bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.